season of the One Board podcast is brought to you by Bellwether Games. Discover joy when you play one of their expanding lineup of fun and diverse games. Bellwether Games are both high quality and enjoyable for the whole family. Visit bellwethergames.com to explore all their titles and find a new addition for your collection today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the One Board Podcast, Episode 3. Episode 3 of Season 2. I am Rick White from Atlanta, Georgia. Here, of course, with the mascot of the Milwaukee Bucks, Ryan Gutowski. Ryan, how are you?
That's right. I'm sitting right here next to Bucky, the Buck from the Milwaukee Bucks. Is that his name?
Okay, are you the mascot, or are you just, like, good friends with the mascot?
No, I'm good friends with the mascot. Yeah, no. I didn't know that was what people thought, that I was the mascot. The travel
schedule. We've never seen the two of you in the same place at the same time.
Ah, that's true, because we only hang out alone. Like, that's our thing. Like, we're friends away from other people. So,
okay.
Yeah, we don't want people associate with each other.
Like you and I.
Yeah, like us. If somebody comes, they're like, you know Rick White? I'm like, nah. They're like, but I just listened to a podcast where both of you were talking. Nope, don't know him at all.
Don't know that fella. Well, I mean, this weekend we did have an experience where some people were like surprised to realize I was a real person. So, I mean, it's not that out
That's
of the realm
true.
Of possibility.
So we were at the Atlanta Sci-Fi and Fantasy Expo this weekend. And some people from Columbus had never met Rick. They only hear him on the podcast, and they traveled up there to support us and what we do with One Board Family. And it was cool because they got to meet you, Rick, so they know that you're not a robot now, as far as they can tell.
Right.
Or just a very realistic robot.
I wonder, like, you know, you always see pictures of people that are like radio show hosts, and you're like, that person doesn't look like that. Like, yeah, in my head, you have like a different picture of them. I wonder, like, did I match what they experienced in their brain, or were they like, man, that guy, he's a lot nerdier looking than we really expected.
That is interesting. So I was at lunch today, and some of my coworkers, I was like, hey, check out the One Board Family polo shirts that we got so that we can wear them when we go to events that we work with and stuff like that. And so I showed a picture of you wearing the polo, and they were like, wow, Ryan, you look a lot slimmer in that shirt. And I was like, it's not even
that,
me.
That shirt is insane. Like
that shirt dropped me 150 pounds.
No big deal.
So you do weigh 150 pounds, right?
Yeah, I weigh 150 pounds. Oh, exactly. No, I'm a little bigger than that. But like you said, we went to the Atlanta Sci-Fi and Fantasy Expo this weekend and got to see a lot of cool stuff, mostly around like comic books and things like that. Had some cool panels about cosplay. Got to do a little bit of gaming. So Ryan, what were some things that you got to do, while we were there?
So we got to play Magic Maze for the first time. And actually it's kind of funny the way that this all worked out, because later in this episode, we'll make reference to Magic Maze and having never played it. So just know that we're time travelers. So
no big deal.
We have a time machine. No big deal. So Magic Maze was really fun. It's chaos and hectic and a lot of fun. Everybody's working together to get the four fantasy characters to grab their weapons from the mall and get out of the mall as quick as you can. We actually played, I think, Rick, did we play 5 or 6 times?
I think we played one round without you.
Okay.
I think we ended up hitting 4 or 5, yeah.
Okay.
While we were there.
Yeah, so we played a bunch of times, and we never played some of the harder difficulties because I think that it was pretty overwhelming to jump from one to the next to the next, and I was like, oh, man, I think we're going to be really terrible at the higher difficulties. But I like how the game scales. The game scales really well, I think, from the different player counts, and then also it's a game where it's not a party game, but I could see it going over really well at a loud board game night, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you and I, with your family and friends, played the game talking, which normally you're not supposed to talk, but we, you know, kind of thought that we weren't quite ready for that step. I actually, after we played it, went and bought it immediately at Challenges, the local game shop there. And then I played it today at school during our socializing 20-minute time. I explained it. Usually I have 4 students that always come by my room to play games and stuff during that time. And 2 of them were off at a literary competition, so the other 2 were there. And I was like, let's learn this real quick and let's play it. And we played without talking. And, we kind of cheated a little bit because, you know, I realized I didn't explain all the rules at points and, you know, because I was in a hurry. But we ended up beating it, playing without talking on the first scenario.
Cool.
And something that, you know, I didn't realize about it before now was how cool the game is at, like, scaling up from, like, a basic version to the game getting more complicated. I'm really looking forward to trying out some of those more complicated setups for Magic Maze later on.
That's right. Magic Maze is very family-friendly. It's something that even people with maybe... I wrote an article about games that you can play even with a language barrier, and I think that Magic Maze is one of those games that even if there's a language barrier, you could break it by playing this game because you are supposed to play silently. Yeah, now you may fail a bunch of times, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So.
Right.
Cool. So, Rick, what else have you played?
Well, while we were hanging out for a while, you guys played Potion Explosion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
While I, like a giant nerd, sat and tried to teach myself Fallout, the board game.
Yes.
As we kind of have made mention in the past, sometimes board gaming becomes not the hobby itself. It's more of board game purchasing becomes its own hobby.
Yeah.
So Fallout is a video game franchise that I'm really, really, really in love with. Fallout 3 is my favorite video game of all time. And so the Fallout board game really intrigued me. And I have a guy in Atlanta that's selling his on like the Facebook marketplace for $50. And I've been really tempted to swing by and get it. And I grabbed it just to kind of check out all the components and was kind of messing around with it for about an hour while you guys played Potion Explosion. And I realized that it's a really cool game, but not one that I need to add to my collection because I will never get anyone to play it with me. And so it was a really cool game, really well built, really does a good job of simulating the video game itself. I would say if I could get my brother, who played a lot of Fallout, and maybe some other folks around that have played it before, to just sit down, learn the rules, and play once, I think that would be a really fun experience. But I don't ever see that happening, so I think that one's going to have to be a no-buy for me.
Well, I think that's where I landed with something like The Gallerist. I don't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast, but I loved playing The Gallerist. That's a game from Eagle Griffin Games, and it came out, I believe, in 2017, but it is a beautiful game. It's art, so it's right in my wheelhouse, and it's about running an art gallery. And there's all these really cool components to it, and the way that you're signing artists, you're you're presenting artwork, you're bringing people into the gallery, stuff like that. And it's just such a cool, it's such a well laid out game. And I came to the conclusion, I even found it where I could purchase it, I think for $50-something. That included shipping. Games normally like 70-something. And I was so excited about it, I almost bought it. And then I was like, it'll never get played. And so I think I almost wish that there was a place where you could go for some of those harder board games. If there was a place that was just like, listen, we loan them out for 2 weeks at a time, because I can't see spending that amount of money on a game like that when I don't know if I'm going to play it more than once a year. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be frustrating. Other games I played, you and I and Aaron and Kendall all played a round of Ice Cool.
That's right.
Which Kendall had to point out to me that it's a wordplay on high school.
Mm.
We've talked about that game a lot, and I did not realize that. And that made me really sad that I missed out on that. So blatant of a wordplay.
That's funny.
But we played that, and I had kind of tried it out with you guys before, but I'd never played like a whole round, and it's fun. I like that game.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the chance to demo it to some families that were swinging by the gaming areas. We got to show them for a little while.
Yeah, I like it. It's a game that we don't get out enough, just because I think that, you know, you set it up and then you have this, it takes up a whole, like a whole table. And then I really enjoyed, I've played it a couple different ways where we've kind of put it on like a lazy Susan and like rolled it around, because you kind of have to get different angles to flick your penguin. But I really like the fact that we just, after the first turn, we just kicked all the chairs to the side and we were just walking around the table. It was a lot of fun, and I was happy to win that game against you guys. I was getting those 2 and 3 cards big time.
Yeah, you were pretty solid. I kept running my penguin into the wall. Like, it was not a good
it's
not a good penguin flicking day.
Well, it's a dexterity game, and I feel like the more you play that stuff, I feel like you get slightly better with time. And it's one of those things that I wish I spent more time with it so that I would actually be good at it. So,
right.
So we did play Potion Explosion. And then actually last night we had some people over before church, and we had, we played Role Player. Role Player is a dice rolling game. I picked that one up used from somebody who was selling it on Facebook, Facebook Marketplace. And I really like that game. Like it was a really good pickup. I feel like I can get Aaron to play it. And, after a little refresher each time, she gets right into it. But, the game is pretty easy. You're choosing dice from the middle of the table on these initiative cards, and you're taking those dice and allocating them onto your player board, and you're trying to score. You're trying to get the best stats on the player board, and there's so many different little things that you can do to gain victory points by the end of the game. And I really like how somebody can come in from behind. They may not be doing really well in one area, but they can pick it up by having a trait card that gives them extra victory points, or gives them a trait that scores them victory points for a certain color or something like that. It's really cool. Great game.
Awesome. And you've actually started kind of a different sort of review system for us with a game you and your family have been playing. And you posted your first part of a review on it last week. Can you tell us about that
game? Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. I wasn't even going to mention it. But Stuffed Fables is a really beautiful game. It's a really, really good game. But I think that one of the things that I struggle with is the amount of time that it takes for you to play. There's 7 scenarios in this book, and it's a storytelling game. So you open up this book, and it's telling the story of a little girl who's moving from the crib to the bed, and you're her stuffed animals, and you as her stuffed animals, you're fighting evil to take care, to defend her.
As we all do.
That's what my stuffed animals do. Right. But the game plays really well. The dice, I mean, you've got dice in it, so you're drawing blindly out of a bag and stuff. I think the thing that teaches the most is that you have to work together, because if you pull a die that you can't use, you can share that die with another player, which is a really smart idea. But if you're not sharing, I think that you kind of get yourself in a bind, and maybe sometimes your turns are meaningless. But the game, I think the only thing that I struggle with is the amount of time that the game takes. Our first game went a little long, I think, because we were all trying to wrap our mind around some of the mechanics and stuff. And it was after a long day of work and long day of school and everything else. And so that first game took us basically 2 nights. We divided up between 2 nights. I think the stories could have been a little shorter so far. We're actually going to try to play the second chapter of the book later this week. So what we're doing is, if you look on oneboardfamily.com, you'll find our very first snippet of a review. I'm basically reviewing the game in 3 parts, because I don't feel like it's fair to just say, well, this is my review after one part of the story when there's 7 pieces. So what I'm doing is I'm kind of giving you a reaction from our family each of us are kind of sounding off about what we think about the game as we complete different sections of the game. And hopefully between the three posts, it'll give you a good idea of whether or not this is a good fit for your family. Because when you're spending right. $50 or $60 on a game, you need to make sure that it's a good fit. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, I think, you know, for people that are out there listening, always looking for a new game, we just want to kind of make sure we share what we've been playing so that if you're sitting there thinking, oh, you know, I've never heard of that game before, and maybe you kind of do a little research and can check it out. And sometimes it's games that we've reviewed and things like that, and other times it's just a game we might have been able to bring off the shelf. And if you want to hear more about it, you can always let us know, and maybe we do a review a little bit more official. But Ryan, I think we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with some more awesome stuff.
That's right. We are here with some guests. We are here with Andrew and Anitra Smith. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are doing really well.
Awesome. Some of you may know them as the Family Gamers. They have the Family Gamers podcast, their website. They do reviews, and they talk about gaming as a family, not only board games, but video games. So, Smith family, how did you guys get into this, and kind of where did this all start for you guys?
It's probably my fault. I've been in and around the sort of online video game / board game journalism world for about 10 years. I started with a Christian blog site doing some video game reviews over there, then went over to another site that I met while doing some journalistic coverage for the Christian site, and I did some stuff for them, and then started to get into some board gaming a little bit because... I don't know. I just kind of liked board games.
Well, and you found that as once you were a parent, you couldn't always make the time to play a video game enough to like give it a review. And
yeah,
our kids were so little that it wasn't really about like I'm going to play games with my kids, but more a I'm not just going to sit down and play video games when I should be spending time with my kids.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that, you know, after that, I tried to do something smaller with just a friend of mine, and scheduling got too difficult. And eventually I was like, you know what, honey? I live with you. You like board games, too. We're going to do a thing. And she was like, yeah, I'll try to do a thing. And two and a half years later, here we are.
Yeah, he started trying to talk me into podcasting about 2 or 3 years before I finally relented and said, okay, sure, I could probably talk about this knowledgeably or at least fake it.
yeah.
And so, yeah, now we've been doing it for 2.5 years, and now I feel relatively comfortable sitting in front of the microphone and talking.
I think you guys have something that a lot of people online wish that they had, a spouse to play games with. I don't know how many times I look at people online talking about, my spouse won't play a game with me. I'm trying to get them into gaming. I own 200 games and they won't play anything. So you guys are super blessed to have that setup where you both enjoy the hobby so much.
I agree.
I kind of take it for granted. No, I kind of take it for granted because we're both giant nerds and like we've always had a lot of shared interests. So, I mean, we met each other at a technical university while we were both getting computer science degrees. So, I mean, there's
That's
a
how
lot
real
of nerdiness
love starts.
Here.
Yeah, she's my bro. Like, I have to admit it.
Real love started with pulling all-nighters in operating systems class to get our homework assignments to work.
Why is that not the subject of romantic comedies? I feel like that's movie industry's really missing out.
Because it's a lot of staring at the screen and trying not to fall asleep.
You know, when you have to make a single character change in a you know, 25,000 line kernel script. It's really not that interesting, I promise.
Can we just go off script and do top five computer coder pickup lines, and that can just be this episode? Like, I feel like that would be super fun.
I feel like that's what the audience came here for.
Yeah, that's why they're here.
So I'll make a deal with you, Rick. I will come up with some for you.
Yes.
I probably not on the show, but I'll be thinking about them.
If I can get one
by the end of the show, I'll give it to you.
Okay, and if not, what we're going to do is in the listing for this episode, you're going to be able to read one of the pickup lines that Andrew comes up with. So he's got a little bit of time before we publish this episode, so he can come up with a really good one, and we'll actually put it at the bottom line of this episode listing.
All right.
Excellent.
And awesome. Anitra has to kiss me when I try to use it on her.
For
the rest of time.
Nice.
All I can come up with is my kernel panics for you.
I like that. That's not bad.
I've Googled it.
Sitting here saying what?
I've Googled it now, and just it's pretty wonderful. I'm loving it.
Kernel panics are a real thing, man. It is what it is.
That's funny.
Some of them are not appropriate for a family gaming podcast.
Most of them would not be appropriate, I don't think.
That's not a surprise.
Some of them are really bad. Sorry.
Is Sarah watching what you Google?
This is so off topic. Oh, my favorite right here is it your email address, beautifulgirl@mydreams.com. That's such a bad line.
That's really bad.
I'm pretty sure I heard that one when I was in school.
That's fantastic.
Not good. I will commit to coming up with something that at least I think is original. Somebody else might have done it, but I won't be getting it from a Google search.
Okay, good. Well, we'll add it to the episode listing.
Wow, this
one. So today, the Smith family. What now?
I said this one sideways.
It often does.
Yes, it did.
Usually,
this is pretty normal.
It's usually
we barely
my
ever
fault.
Talk about games. So. So this week we are talking about the top five filler games. And so in the past episodes, what we're doing is bringing these top five lists to you. Rick and I worked on this together, so it's not really either one of our it isn't representative of just one of us, but both Rick and I have come up with this list. So it's a little bit of both of our brains. And with this list, we're not going to give you a number because I feel like we might be shortchanging some of these. What I might think of as a five, Rick might think of as a one. So we're giving you top five filler games in no particular order. And so we'll start it off, and then the Smith family, you guys are going to follow up and give us some of yours. This way, you guys, you listeners, are going to have 10 amazing games to check out from this episode. So first up on our list, we'll throw out Fuji Flush. Fuji Flush is basically like an Uno killer for our family. We haven't played Uno in years, but Fuji Flush is made by Freedom and Freeze, and it's basically a numbers game where players are playing numbered cards that are either 2 through 20, and the lower numbers, they've got there's a lot of them. There's a lot of 2s, a lot of 3s, a lot of 4s, and players play a card from their hand. They have 5 or 6 cards depending on the player count. What I like most is that this game plays up to 8 players, which is fantastic. It easily morphs into a party game, and so players put down a card in front of them. Maybe it's a 4. The player to my left, if that player plays a 5, my card is knocked out of contention, goes into the middle of the pile. I've got to draw a new card. It goes around the table, and if your card stays out there one rotation around the table, your card gets thrown away permanently, and now you have less cards than the rest of the players, and you're going to be able to first one to let go of all of their cards first wins that game. So it plays really quick, super portable. It's one that we take to restaurants, and when we just want to throw down with a hand of cards. Our 14-year-old fell in love with it, and that's the one that she has to play all the time. That's Fuji Flush.
Sounds pretty good.
So what do you guys have?
Well, you talked about bringing games to restaurants. Our favorite game to bring to a restaurant is called Quingo. It's spelled weird, so.
Yeah, it's Q-W-I-N-G-O. It's a cross between Quix, which is a game that Game Right published. It's been published by a bunch of different people internationally and stuff like that. And Bingo.
Yeah. So there's
has this been around longer than Quix?
No. No, Quicks came first.
Yep.
Okay.
But Quingo takes a lot of the same dice rolling and fitting numbers into a grid idea that is in Quicks, and then combines it with Bingo. There's a lot of reasons why we love this game, but one is that it is literally one die, and then everyone has a scorecard and a pencil.
Yeah, and the game. In the little flip-top box, it comes with sharpened pencils. It comes with the score pad.
Yeah.
It's everything is there for you to play the game right out of the box.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. You know, you take turns going around the table. You roll the die. And before you roll the die, you say a number between 1 and 100. Then you roll the die. It has 5 different colors and symbols on it, plus 1 wild side. And whatever color symbol combination comes up, that is the column that you have to write your number in. Okay. And you're trying to be the first person to fill a column. And it doesn't matter which one. But nice. The catch okay. is that you can only put the numbers in. They have to go in order from lowest to highest. So, for example, you know, somebody says 99 and rolls the die. You can guarantee that you want to put that at the bottom slot in whatever column it ends up fitting in. So
it sounds like, and is it portable like Quicks, kind of in that flip top box type of setup?
Oh, yeah. Yep, exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's great. That seems like another one that's just perfect to just grab it on the go. Definitely something that my wife would grab and put in her purse before we go out to a restaurant.
Well, and again, we like Quicks, but since we have younger kids than you guys, Quingo is just perfect because it's, I mean, any of the kids can play it and we're not worried about losing any of the dice because there's literally only the one.
Gotcha. All right, Rick, you got our next item on the list?
Next item on the list is Deep Sea Adventure. So Deep Sea Adventure, Ryan, you and I played together for the first time at way too late of an hour with some stranger that was also hanging out at Gamerama. And it was one I'd already always been interested in. And, you know, basic pieces, basic kind of setup. And when you read the rules and you start playing, you at first think, like, this is going to be, like, really boring. You're going to roll a die, you're going to move and pick stuff up and then get back to the submarine. Like, how hard is that? But that major mechanic of the oxygen level that you all share and it goes down based on how much treasure you have, that's really where it gets you. And it became something that I thought was going to be kind of weird, basic, and boring into this. The first time we played it, anyway, it turned into the major cutthroat action of the evening because it was just like race down, and then like you all are kind of wondering who's gonna start heading back first, and once somebody heads back, you're like, you jerk, and so you all race back, dropping treasure if you've got too much left and right.
It's definitely one of those that you're watching everybody else's actions and you're looking, you're like, you look at their eyes and you're sitting across the table. You're like, if you pick up a treasure this turn, I promise I'll kill you in real life.
Do you like rough, the bottom man. Of the ocean? Because that's where you're headed. If you pick up that treasure.
Exactly. So Rick was, me and Rick, when we played this the very first time at Atlanta Game Fest, we were just trying to understand the game. And then once we got the grasp of the game, probably 3 games in, Rick would start going down and I would start going down. And then as soon as one of us got down pretty far into the depth of the ocean on the made up board that you have, the other person would take a treasure and just jet going back to the submarine. And then the other one's just screaming like, why would you do that? I thought we had a pact. I thought we weren't going to take treasure for a few minutes.
I thought we were friends.
Yeah, so it makes for some great times. And what I love about Deep Sea Adventure is the minimalist art style. I really love the art style. It's made by Oink Games, and it's It's got Japanese and Dutch and English and French directions all in the same box. It's a very international feeling game, just with the simplistic artwork. And it sets up anywhere. I mean, we've played it on the beach. We've played it on the floor. We've played it on a table. We've played it on an end table. We've played it on a little rickety thing at a coffee shop, a little metal table at a coffee shop. This game plays anywhere because the board is not a board. It's these little tokens, little cardboard pieces that you build the board out of. It's really cool. So it's definitely one of our favorite fillers and one of the games that gets a lot of play around here, Deep Sea Adventure.
You want to handle the next one on our list?
Sure. So the next game on our list is Batman the Animated Series Dice. So this is a game by Steve Jackson Games. If you're familiar with Zombie Dice, it is it's basically a retheming of Zombie Dice.
Yeah, but better because it's Batman.
But well, first of all, it's yes. Batman. Second of all, so you're playing as one of the villains in the animated series universe. So Mr. Freeze, Catwoman, blah 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 blah. And so each of the villains has a slightly different power that has it has an effect on the dice. I think Catwoman can ignore a couple of alarm bells. Mr. Freeze, if they're blue, if the Batman symbols are blue,
Mr. Freeze can freeze.
He can freeze two of them, so they don't count or something like that.
The Joker gets some kind of bonus, even if he.
Even if he busts, if he's got sets of the different colors, he gets a bonus.
That's an interesting one because you don't have to roll money bags for that. You actually get victory points just for colors, no matter what, whether it's good or bad. That's kind of that's a very, very interesting mechanic that I really like.
Well, he's crazy. I mean, he's nuts.
He is crazy.
So it's a go-to for us because it comes in that nice little cardboard canister. You can throw it in basically any bag and bring it wherever you want to go. You don't have to be able to read to understand what's going on. You can play it straight. You can play it straight as Zombie Dice if you want to. So it's a really approachable game. It's very easy for anyone to understand. And it's one of those games where you're rolling it because it's a pressure luck game. And every once in a while, everyone at the table will be like, oh, no. And then someone will come over and they want to know what you're doing. And it's a great filler game. So that's Batman the Animated Series Dice by Steve Jackson Games.
Very cool. That's an awesome game. We played a lot of visiting my parents. They live in a retirement community and they've got a pool that we go to. We played a lot of Zombie Dice poolside just because it was so easy and portable. And it was funny because last summer when we visited them, Batman the Dice game took Zombie Dice's place, and that came by the pool, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I love the fact that Zombie Dice is waterproof because it's dice. There's that very minor thing with Batman.
That's true.
You have cards to represent
the
characters,
the
but that's really the only difference in terms of usability that you would run into. Yeah. So
that's very true. So our next one on our list, Sushi Go. Again, Sushi Go is a game that is so easy to understand. It's funny because Sushi Go was a game that we would pass by it. Aaron and I would pass by that game on the Target store shelves all the time. And I looked at it and I've picked it up before. And every time I looked at it, I'm like, this is a little kid's game. It's probably some memory matching game. I don't have any time for this. Some friends of ours introduced us to it and they were like, hey, we picked up Sushi Go. It's really fantastic. I was like, okay, this is a couple of years ago. And they showed us how to play. I was like, why have we passed this over for so long? And so we picked up a copy of Sushi Go. And since then, we've given Sushi Go to people. We've bought Sushi Go Party, which is a game that gets played a lot around the house. But Sushi Go is this set collection game that has these really cool different mechanics. You get a hand of cards and you play a card from your hand face down. Everybody reveals their card and then you pass the cards to your left or right, depending on what round it is. And it's just such a fun game. I mean, there's a little bit of take that because as you watch I know my son loves to collect the dumplings. We call him the dumpling king around the table. And he collects all the dumplings. And that joker, before you know it, he's got 15 points in dumplings.
Can call him the dumpling king outside of Sushi Go, please? Like, is that a thing they can start
Let's call him the dumpling king forever.
I'd appreciate it.
He'll be like, what are you talking about? So... yeah, I think that's great. Rick, next time you see him, just call him the Dumpling King.
The Dumpling King.
Hey, Dumpling King, how you doing?
Yes. Yeah, he'll be like, why are you talking to me? So, so yeah, it's really good. Kendall is known for taking the pudding, taking all the puddings from the deck. So it's a great game. It's so easy to teach. It takes 2 minutes to teach, and it's funny because we hadn't played in a while, and after dinner a couple weeks ago, we played with some friends and introduced them to it, and I had forgotten how quick and how fun that game is.
Well, we have a drafting game on our list as well, and the same thing. It plays really quick. It's really easy to explain. This game is called Ancestry, because you're building a family tree.
Ha-ha, wordplay!
It's so punny. No, it's a great game though. From the very first time I saw it, like, the theme kind of sounds weird, much like the, you know, you're building the perfect sushi. You know, like, I'm building a family tree and that's the game. But it's fantastic. It, just like Sushi Go, you get a hand of tiles and then you pick one to play and you pass the rest. Unlike Sushi Go, you're not just doing a set collection. You're actually trying to build up a family tree. And you'll get points for having better, I think they call them dynasties or lineage. Basically connected generations of the same color within your family tree. But only when compared to your two neighbors. So you don't really care what the guy across the table from you is doing. You just care about the people on either side, which would be the people you are handing the tiles to.
Gotcha.
There's a couple of different ways to score points. This is more like Sushi Go. And so we find that every time we play it, like, people are adjusting their strategy a little bit and be like, you know what? This time I am going to concentrate on marriages, which are only going to give me points at the end of the game. You know, and I'll do a little bit here and there to make sure that I stay in the game, but I'm just going to grab every single marriage tile that I can.
At first, I thought you were going to say grab every single marriage I can, and I thought this is a very different game with a very different theme.
You know what? There are tiles in there that have marriage connections available on both sides.
Okay. There you go.
You can chain a bunch of those together.
Yes, polygamy in a board game is my favorite component every time.
We found a copy, two copies of Ancestry on at our local board game shop, and I was showing Aaron because I had heard about you guys talking about the game on the podcast, on the Family Gamers podcast. You guys plug it first because we're going to plug it again later, but go ahead and plug the podcast real quick.
Sure. So it is the Family Gamers Podcast. The easiest place to find us is on our website, thefamilygamers.com.
No, I was just going to say, so what we do is we are even number shows. We talk all about what we've been playing, and we have some topic. And our odd number shows, we usually like to try to get someone to interview or talk to about game-related things.
Awesome. And so I heard you guys talking about Ancestry, and Aaron and I were at the local game shop here in Columbus, and I saw it on the shelf, and I said, the Smith family, they talked about this. We should check it out. And so hearing you guys describe it, and it's definitely a game that I think we're going to pick up because it sounds like something right up our alley, and the quickness of it is something that I think the whole family can enjoy.
It's really fantastic. I don't think we've ever been able to sit down and play it and play just one game of Ancestry. We just like, oh, that was great, but you know what, if I had just done this differently or gone a little bit more for the tiles with the coins on them, hey, can we play again?
Yeah, it's like, let's not talk about it, let's just do it again, and I'll do what I want to do.
I've got an idea.
Cool, Rick, you got our next one?
I sure do. So the next game is Ink and Gold, also known as Diamant or Diamant never gonna pronounce that right. But basically, this is a pressure luck game. You are all adventurers, and you're going into a temple filled with treasure that you will split among the people that stay in the temple, or you will face perils like snakes or spiders or different things. These are all found in a deck of cards that you flip over one at a time, and between each flip, you're all voting on whether you're progressing to try to get even more treasure, or whether you're retreating to be able to keep the treasure that you've already collected and pick up any treasure that's been left behind due to uneven splits and things as the group has gone forward. And it works really well. I think it scales really well because it plays up to, I think, 8 is what you can do with it. I could be completely making that up. But it kind of has the same feel no matter what you're doing. And I love that it's so simple. The only thing you got to do is decide, should I stay or should I go?
Should I stay or should I go?
Exactly. And if you don't sing
on,
each
you
time.
Knew that was coming.
Yes. Copyright. But it works well when I brought it out with my family who are kind of hesitant, I think, a little bit on board games. My dad fell in love with it really quickly and was always going way too far. He was always pushing his luck and always, you know, getting caught by the... If you ever flip over a second obstacle, then that means everybody that's still in the temple loses all the treasure that they've gained so far. So you play it 5 rounds. Whoever's collected the most total treasure wins. It's got cool components like a little tent that you can hide all your little treasure in. I like it a lot.
That's cool. I've not played Ink and Gold. I'm definitely going to have to check that out next time we hang out.
Most certainly.
We actually have it. I got it in a trade. I don't remember what trade it was. I have no idea at this point, but we haven't played it yet.
It's so quick and simple. Like it's nothing that I don't think it's ever one that I plan on a gaming night. We're going to make sure we break out Ink and Gold. But if you're kind of just looking for a quick fix, maybe, you know, 2 of your people are going to get dinner while everybody else stays behind. It's something you can break out, play in 20 to 30 minutes, and it take you all of 3 seconds to explain the rules, and you'd be good to go.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Okay, next on our list is a game that we are affectionately referring to as a super filler game.
Super filler!
Super... I'm going to laugh every time you do that.
I apologize.
It's okay.
You don't need to apologize.
And that is the game Magic Maze. So this is a game, it's published in the United States by Dude Games. It was...
It's super weird.
Wow. It's unique.
Any other game.
It's unique. So Magic Maze was in the running for the SDJ last year, and it lost to King Domino. And on the Dice Tower podcast, Tom Vassell actually said, if I were voting, I think Magic Maze should win, but I think that King Domino is going to win. And he was right. That being said, we love King Domino.
Yeah.
And we like Magic Maze more.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I mean, they're completely different games. But so in Magic Maze, there are 4 characters. There is a rogue and a wizard and a barbarian and a warrior. And as rogues and wizards and barbarians are wont to do, they're all in a shopping mall.
Yes.
seems
they
legit.
Lost their weapons and they're trying to steal new ones.
Yeah, they're trying to steal new ones. And so the neat thing about Magic Maze is there's no board, right? So there's a stack of tiles and you play scenarios. And the thing that makes this a filler game is that the scenarios only take like five minutes. They take 5 minutes.
You have a timer.
Yeah. They take about 5 minutes to play each scenario, and as you go through the scenarios, the game basically adds more rules to it, right? So it has different subsets of the tiles, which have different icons on them that mean different things, and they just add more rules to the game. But the thing about it that's so neat is the game scales from 1 to 8 players, and before you start playing, there's these little tiles that you hand out, and they have like player numbers in the corner, so you know which tiles correspond to the number of players that you have.
Yeah. And it tells you what your role is.
Yeah, but they're not roles like wizard or barbarian or whatever. The role is you move characters north, or you use the portal, or you perform the search action, or you use the escalators.
You get to use the escalators.
And
is there any other game that has escalators in it? Like, I've never seen another board game with escalators.
I'm pretty sure my daughter's copy of Mall Madness has escalators.
Only stairs.
I remember.
Are you sure there are only stairs?
I am sure there are only stairs. Okay. I have played it too many times.
Oh,
I feel like that needs to be the next top 10 list for the Dice Tower.
Oh, Mall Madness.
Top 10 game. Are you okay, Rick?
I just nostalgia'd so hard, like it's broken down my body. Oh my god!
Oh my
amazing.
Goodness! Are you
my
okay the rest of the
so
show?
Much. She's got the littlest pet shop edition, so it makes pet sounds along with everything else.
Oh wow, that's weird.
Oh, I love everything about what we're talking about. Continue.
All right. So anyway, So if you have eight players, you are distributing all these roles out. So, you know, everybody's only got one thing that they can do, like move east, move west, move north, move south, whatever. And so as you are moving, so there's no turns. Everybody's just reaching in and moving things with whatever their roles are. And as you move to these like door locations on each of the tiles, whoever has the search action puts the next tile down. And so they can continue searching for the things that they're trying to steal. And then once all four characters are on the steal icons,
then the security alarms are going off.
The security alarms are going off. You're not allowed to use the portals anymore, and you all have to escape. It's a really zany game with all this reaching around, doing all this stuff. And the trick to it, the real killer is you can't talk. So
you are not allowed to talk.
You are not allowed to talk.
There are very specific moments. Regroup.
Yeah. Like Anitra said, there's a sand timer that's going. So there are icons on the board that are sand timer icons. And if you're running out of time, you can stand on one of these. They're single use only, so you put a little like X over them. You can stand on one of these and flip the timer over. The way the rules work is, when you flip the timer over, you can put it on its side, and you can talk until you touch a pawn.
Once somebody touches a pawn,
you
silence.
Yep, you set the timer and you go. So you can do a little bit of strategizing at these kind of punctuated moments over the course of the game. But otherwise, there's no talking. The only communication that you are allowed to do is to take this giant red pawn and place it gently in front of somebody who needs
place
to do something.
Place it gently, he says. No one ever places it gently.
Slam
it down in front of the person and be like, you!
I'm talking to you! Do you not look at me?
Like, you!
Bang,
you
bang, 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 bang,
bang,
yeah,
bang,
yeah.
Bang, bang.
Thump it off their forehead.
You're trying so hard not to say, like, you idiot! You need to do this over here!
That's interesting. It almost seems like a team building game, something that you would want to do with your coworkers to see the weakest link in the company.
I think that's an interesting idea, actually.
Whoever's the worst is fired.
This is going to determine bonuses this year. So.
We love this game, but it could destroy your game group, honestly. If someone can't take the pressure.
I don't like some of those people anyway, so let's go for it.
All right, there you go.
I'm ready to ruin this thing.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
great.
That is Magic Maze, published in the United States by Dude Games.
That's very cool. Okay. And our last one on this top five filler game list is going to be Mario Level Up or King Me. And my youngest daughter has the most experience with this. She played Mario Level Up with a gaming group that meets here in Columbus, and she loved it. She had a good time with it. And actually, Rick, you have a copy of King Me. Why don't you tell us about it?
Right. King Me came out in 2004, I believe, and very basic concept, but it's been out of print for a very long time. And so Super Mario Level Up is the, as far as I can tell, it's the exact same game. It's just got a Mario coat of paint on it. But what you have are a bunch of characters that are all trying to become the next king. And over three rounds, you're going to nominate a new king each round, or a new character is going to become king, I should say. And everybody playing gets a list of six characters and how they end up ranked on the board, which is split out from 0 to 5, and then one spot for the king, and it's worth 10 points. You get points based on where your characters end up. So you take turns placing a pawn on the board. That's how the game gets set up. And then you move a person up one rank. And you can never have more than 4 people on a rank. So eventually somebody gets nominated to be the king. And at that point, all the players vote on whether they are okay with that person being the king or not. And you are given, everybody's given a yes card, which you can use as many times as you want. But you're also given 3 no cards. And so if you vote no, you lose that card until the next round. So if anybody votes no, that character does not win and that character is out of the game. And so you kind of, the person that's going to be king ends up usually being around the, you know, the
second or third choice.
Yeah, it's there's going to be a lot of no's usually beforehand, and you'll get really mad at some people who are like, the one no vote. You're like, you ruined everything! But it's this bluffing mechanic because you want to move your people up to higher point values, but you don't want to let on that they are your characters, because if they're not somebody else's, they'll try to move them into the king role so they can vote them out. And you also might want to hold your no cards back for a later round to make sure that you get to, you know, mess with people later. But if you hold back a no card and everybody else wanted that person, then you're stuck with, you know, low points. So for a tiny little game that has incredibly simple rules, it's really fun. I like it a lot.
Well, that means that we're down to the last game on our list. And this is a game that we've been playing since before we had a podcast. So it's one of our favorites for a long time. It's called Duple by Anomia Press. Duple is a word game, but it's different than most other word building games because it's, however large your group is, it's 2 people at a time out of the group trying to build a word. So everyone takes turns drawing cards off a central stack, and your card has a letter on it and a symbol. When you draw your card, you draw it, you put it face up in front of you, and you look to see if anybody else has a card that matches your symbol. If they do, then the two of you try to come up with a word that contains both of those letters as quickly as possible, and fits the category card that was previously drawn. So the category cards are just mixed into the deck, but they include things like thing, or animal, or 10-plus letter word.
My favorite category.
Oh, hate that category. we tend to not exactly use this as a filler game, but more as a, you know, we just want to play one more game before the night is over. Like, our brains aren't quite done yet with games. So it's a great 2 in the morning game. It is definitely our favorite filler game.
That's cool.
Although the other game by the same publishers is not too far behind.
Nice.
Anything you want to add about that game, Andrew, or are you falling asleep?
No, I'm good. I mean,
I'm fine.
I pretty much agree with everything you said. So,
all right,
it's fun. I like it a lot. It's a palate cleanser for us.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Nice.
Well, I feel like these are ten great filler games that anybody can add to their collection. So, if any of these sounded interesting to you or might be a good fit for your family, be sure to pick them up at your local game shop. Some of these are available at Barnes & Noble. We said Target already. You can order them online through Amazon and Miniature Market and all those great online retailers. So that's cool. So Anitra, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the One Board Podcast. This came about having you guys on the show and us being on the Family Gamers Podcast came about because Andrew and I had done a little friendly bet. Our Jacksonville Jaguars, our team of choice in the NFL, were going up against the Patriots, and unfortunately, they lost to them in the playoffs. So it was a rough Sunday here.
The football evil empire. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I've been very cautious about how I position myself, just because we've got some neighbors that. She's from Boston, huge Pats fan, and so she's always rooted for them. So I've been very cautious about my attitude toward the Patriots so that I keep all my friends.
So. Well, that's very kind of you. I know that Bill Belichick is insufferable, but I promise you, as a Patriots fan, I find
that's
him
good.
Hilarious.
That's good. You can't help but laugh, you know? So.
Oh, the guy's unbelievable.
We were commenting to each other, Super Bowl? No, the Jacksonville Jaguars game, that he actually started smiling. We're like, look!
He's not a robot. That's good.
Is he having
Darth Hoodie can smile.
Yes. Is he having a stroke? Someone go check on him.
That's not normal. So
that's not normal. I've never seen his face do that.
Do you ever see the meme of him? It's just a picture of him, and it says, "Let's party."
No, right. I've got to look that one
but
up.
He's just... Just Google Bill Belichick Let's Party and you'll see it. And for every time I look at that picture,
it just makes you laugh.
I'm just in hysterics. Because
I'll be looking that up tonight.
It's just very Bill. It's very Bill.
That's awesome.
I believe I was promised a line.
A line?
I'll give you something. I don't have it for you now. Oh. Yeah, a pickup line. So, I don't, but I promise
he's
you,
too
I,
tired
I'll
to come up with pickup.
I'll give you. I'll get you.
Look
something.
For look I for will, a fun pickup line in the show notes for this episode. You'll find one there from Andrew. So
yeah, you know what? I'm looking at the Let's Party Bill Belichick picture, so I'm happy. That is your contribution to my comedy.
That's
for
good.
The evening.
It's funny, isn't it? So, I mean, hey, would you like to get a cup of Java?
Boom.
Yes, worth it. So worth screaming. It. Yes.
That's what the wait was for. So yes.
There you go. I'll get you, and I'll come up with
good.
Another one.
Okay, though. Well, we'll put it in the
I
show
mean,
notes.
I feel like that's pretty. That's pretty softball.
Where can all the listeners find you guys at? Where can they follow along with the Family Gamers?
Well, our website is probably the best place to go to start. That is thefamilygamers.com.
Yep, but we're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram at FamilyGamersAA. That's for Andrew and Anitra.
Great.
That's awesome. Cool. You guys check them out.
It's the best place to go.
They are they're suggesting some great games for your family, and it's just another resource where you guys can find your new favorite game. So thanks for coming on the show, and it's been a pleasure doing this top five filler games with you guys, hoping that we can be on each other's shows again in the future. Thanks for all you do for gaming. So
thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having us on. It's been a blast. And I look forward to doing it again.
Thanks, guys.
This has been the One Board Podcast, and we will see you at the table.